I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah! How about that last night, Al? I think we're going to be in a really good mood all day today. We're going to be in a really good mood watching the Rams and the Seahawks tonight. Pregame show starts at 3:30, myself and Kirk Morrison. We're going to be in a really good mood when we come back tomorrow morning. And I'm thinking till about, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then the anxiety comes pouring back in because you got the Giants on Friday night.
It's going to be a dogfight, Trev. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about, and I know we got another 24 hours or so to talk about this series against the Giants, but here's the reality. As if you're a Dodger fan, you should 100%. We heard Max Scherzer saying this in the postgame. What was he saying? He's like, got issues with his sound, and then he's like, I'm drunk. You know, I'm not even gonna.
How did he get drunk that fast? But let's cue this up for a second. Then he was on TV, and he was first of all shirtless, had the headset on, and he was enjoying himself. Take a listen.
And K-Long told me a couple days ago. You got to get rid of this echo. I can't talk. I'm drunk. Whatever.
You know what that sounded like? That sounded like a Friday night. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. Someone else is on the other line, and they're just, I just can't even talk. I'm drunk.
You're confused. But hold on. That interview took place, 10 minutes after the home run landed?
Let's say 30 minutes after the home run landed.
No. No way that was a half an hour.
I agree.
It was 15 minutes tops.
Okay, I agree. Let's say it's 15, 20 minutes. Alcohol's going to take a second. It's going to take a second. It's not like he was in the back taking 3-4 shots or something. He was sipping a beer.
I was going to say, and I've seen those celebrations before. It's champagne and beer, right?
Yeah.
To get that drunk on beer takes some time.
Well,
you can't I can't talk drunk on beer in 15 minutes, can you?
But I love the, they're celebrating, right? Like, I'm not a fan of, by the way, I've never understood baseball, why they celebrate 34 times before they actually win a World Series.
Fair,
I've never
it's a fair
understood
point.
That, okay?
It's a fair point.
But let's just use yesterday as an example. The way they won, the relief of just getting out of the wild card, the grind that you had all the way to the last season or the last game of the season where you were trying to avoid the wild card. Like, I'm sure yesterday for those Dodger players, it was a complete, let me just take a breath of fresh air for a quick second. And then, oh, by the way, tomorrow, Dodgers, Giants, what a freaking matchup. It's the two best teams in baseball. We've been saying it, this entire time. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that they play each other in the, National League Championship game or in the World Series. But these are the best two, and it's going to start tomorrow.
Travis Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And look, I did not appreciate that enough in the moment because I was still peaking as well and enjoying it. I want to listen to it again. Taylor, get Max Scherzer again. But keep in mind, this is about 10 or 15 minutes after Chris Taylor
stepped. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
It wasn't a minute past.
Let's say 20. Let's go 20.
I think it was.
Yeah, let's go 20.
You think you're being really generous. And
maybe
this
maybe he had a whole bottle of champagne.
Keep in mind, shirtless on TV doing this.
And K-Long told me a couple days ago, you got to get rid of this echo. I can't talk. I'm drunk. Whatever.
Whatever is right. That's the best part. That's how you know it's totally legit. Not the slurring words. Not that he can't hear. Not that he can't talk. It's just that he just went, forget it. Whatever. That's the ultimate drunk get out of jail free. It's, whatever along the way. All right. That's the fun stuff. You ready to come back to reality for half a second?
Yeah,
Lee?
Yeah.
It's three times in a row he hasn't pitched well. That's three games in a row where your best pitcher, which he is, has looked like something other than that. You go back to that Colorado game. I think we all kind of went, it's Colorado. It's Colorado, man. What do you want out of these guys? It's Colorado. And then he pitched poorly after that. I believe Milwaukee was the next stop for him after that. And you're thinking, all right, Milwaukee's pretty, but yeah, that didn't look good at all. He had another lead that he gave back, and Dodgers came back to win that game late. He still hasn't lost a game when he pitches, the Dodgers have won every game. Mm-hmm. And then last night, he battled like crazy. His competitive spirit was unbelievable. It was a 10 out of 10. His enthusiasm, 10 out of 10. His drinking ability, 0 out of 10. But he was not sharp three times in a row, and he's going to need to be sharp if they're going to beat the Giants.
So, by the way, when you say he's going to need to be sharp to beat the Giants – he did his part in the wild card game, and I agree with you. You and I would be lying to each other if we said that, hey, over the last 2.5-3 weeks, you feel great about Scherzer. No, you felt really good when he was 0.78 ERA. Now, they have still won every game that he started, and the Dodgers have. Here's where I would kind of breathe a little sigh of relief. Who pitches tomorrow?
Walker Buehler.
Who pitches on Saturday?
Julio.
Scherzer then wouldn't pitch again until Monday. And
correct.
That's going to be at Dodger Stadium.
On full rest.
As in, you're 100% right. And you should kind of be a little, kind of thinking a little. You should think twice a little bit right now about Max Scherzer. The beauty is you still got these two other aces. Now,
sure.
Walker Buehler tomorrow, this would be the first time he pitches again in San Francisco since that critical game that they lost against the Giants where Buehler got shelled for six. But it's they're not depending on one guy. That's what makes this Dodger team so special. It makes them so special. Most franchises are depending on really a couple, two guys to kind of see if they can carry you through. Yesterday it was Chris Taylor. It wasn't Mookie Betts. It wasn't Corey Seager. It was also Justin Turner. They can depend on some of these other guys. It's not on the back of just one man. It's not going to be on the back of Max Scherzer.
Yeah, it's not just on the back of Max Scherzer. I agree with you. The Buehler and Urias can certainly carry a great deal of that load. They don't win the World Series if he pitches like this continually. They're going to need one of those Scherzer games. The way that he pitched for Washington in the World Series, the way that he pitched for the Dodgers through the first 8 or 9 starts that he had, they're going to need one or two of those along the way because you can't – you're going to need your best pitcher to be your best pitcher. It can't be, hey, he got us to the fifth inning. All right, let's tighten our belts and get to the finish line. He's going to need to be a little – I think he will. I'm not worried about him in the sense
that – what do you think it is?
I last night, I'm convinced he was too hyped. I just think he was a little too jacked up,
But that's weird.
Technical it's
weird
for
he's,
half
he's,
a second.
He's been in this, it's not
he
like
has.
It's the
– but look at him, man. He is so, so jacked when he takes that mound. And there's a point where it's too much. I know that he goes to the point of 100 out of 100, but you go to 101, and you're redlining that thing. Sometimes that doesn't work real well. And when you're trying to throw a breaking pitch and you're trying to locate a breaking pitch on your glove side and you're amped up, it's almost impossible to do.
Isn't it, Trav, after the first inning? I mean, doesn't that amp up you're talking about, doesn't that kind of start to
– Did it look like it waned to you? It looked like it was still there to me.
But what you're saying is – and that's the point that I'm making is you're saying that you felt like he was too amped up. Doesn't that too amped up kind of go away after inning?
I don't know the right adjective here. I think for a regular pitcher, yeah. Like, Clayton Kershaw does not pitch in a frenzy like that, right? Like, if Clayton Kershaw's out, Walker Buehler doesn't pitch in a frenzy like that. Maybe in the first inning, their adrenaline's banging and you're super pumped up and maybe you don't have your feel quite like that. But those guys kind of come back to they're at 8.5 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10. Scherzer's at 11 out of 10. And it's just – It felt like last night that worked against him a little bit. They got through it, and he battled like crazy. All the credit in the world for fighting like that. But something to think about moving into that Giants series for sure. Let's go to Corona for our next stop on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Lee in Corona. Lee, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. I was there last night with my son. It was unbelievable. And I want to talk about a Corona native who was an unsung hero. He came in the most pressurized inning of the whole game, 2 on, 1 out, Arenado up, and then Carlson, and got Carlson on that strikeout, and Arenado on that force play. That could have been a double play if Turner took it right to the bag, but whatever. I thought Joe Kelly was. I know Bellinger was great, but I thought Joe Kelly was the MVP of the pitchers, and all the pitchers were great last night. And he was the highest leverage time in the game, and he was just sensational. That's all I got.
Lee, before you go real quick, let me how many glasses of tea and honey have you had today? Because your voice is sounding a little raspy. You were screaming a lot last night, weren't you?
Yeah, we couldn't stop. We couldn't stop, and I'm trying to. Hopefully, we'll be going again on Monday, and awesome. It'll be a closeout game. That's what I'm hoping.
You got it, Lee. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate the call. Al, he mentioned Joe Kelly from Corona. Joe Kelly from UC Riverside, right? Joe Kelly is a Big West pitcher. He pitched in the Big West, and as we all know, only the finest athletes compete out of the Big West. Guys
Justin
Turner and Joe Kelly, these are Big West athletes, and you know, Travis Rogers. These are the athletes from the Big West that have distinguished themselves at the highest level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No one questions that.
Thank you. The highest level of academics combined with the highest level of athletics along the way. Let's go to
By the way, real quick, so This is part of what makes – this is part of when the dust settles off that game yesterday. Because you could have 10 different callers call in and give love to 10 different players or a manager or something along those lines. What Joe Kelly did in that situation, coming in for Scherzer and just pretty much absolutely stopping whatever momentum that St. Louis had. Yeah, you're right. We're probably not going to talk that much about it because there were so many other things that happened after that. Or we're focused on, hey, is Scherzer the same pitcher that he's supposed to be? What a big-time moment for Joe Kelly. And that's why I say anybody could call in right now and they could point at it was Beatty on defense had huge plays, or it was Cody Bellinger doing what he did at the plate, or it was that's what you walk away from yesterday's game. In only a 3-1 game, you could still point at 10 different players and talk about what one specific individual did at some point.
Yeah, he kind of got lost in the shuffle. You're right, but he was fantastic. And keep in mind, too, that could only go poorly. If that blows up, we're screaming at him and Dave
screaming
Roberts.
Screaming at Dave Roberts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts is taking some right now. And look, he represented incredibly well last night. Congratulations to him along the way. Let's try. Ooh, I like this. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you are on with Travis and Slee. What's going on, Chris?
How you doing, guys?
All right.
I just want to make a couple of comparisons between the 88 World Series Game 1, the last inning for the Dodgers, and last night for the Dodgers.
Okay.
If you remember, two outs, nobody on. Davis, batting under 200, works a walk, which Eckersley hardly ever gives up. Last night, Bellinger, under 200, works a walk. Davis steals second base without a throw, and that makes it easier for Gibson. Last night, Bellinger steals second without a throw, makes it easier for Taylor. He said he was just looking to hit a single, and what had happened? Both of them hit home runs. It's eerie.
That's a great call, Chris. Thank you. You know what? I had not thought about the Cody Bellinger-Mike Davis comparison because he's exactly right. Guys that had been having – Mike Davis going back to 88, come over from the Oakland A's, he had had a terrible season. He was supposed to be free agent acquisition, a guy that they were really excited to have, and he was awful. He was just awful. And Eckersley walked about a guy every 6 months. He walks Mike Davis. We all know how it ends after that. But last night, look, it's not Gibson territory what Taylor did last night, Slee, but it's walk-off end a series great. I think it might be number two on the list.
But, you know, really, who are you talking about? You're talking about Max Muncy, Justin Turner. I think it was 2018 Muncy. Turner was in 2017. Yep. And then Chris Taylor last night. You can easily make a case that that's the second biggest home run in Dodgers playoff history, no question about it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so we have Thursday night football up in Seattle. Of course, the Rams and the Seahawks. The Rams looking to bounce back after their first loss of the season. We are joined right now by a Super Bowl champion, the man you hear on all of the broadcasts as well, DeMarco Farr. DeMarco, how you feeling this morning?
What's happening, man? Play that Sade. That's my era. Yeah.
You know what I was waiting? You know what I was waiting for? I was waiting.
What?
DeMarco, I wanted Travis to know, because we played it a couple different times, if he would recognize it. Trav, did you know? Did you know this time around it was Sade?
Oh. I know, yes. I did. I know that song. Okay. It's one of the few I know.
All right, there we go.
So, DeMarco,
this is funny.
Some good jams right here, DeMarco.
Far, I am not too far where I saw her in concert. I'm in Seattle. I'm at the Hyatt Regency. I can look out. The city is emerald. It's beautiful. But there's a place called The Gorge. I saw Sade live
in a
rainstorm. She came out in a white gown, no shoes, and I swear she was only singing to me. There was no one else there but me and her.
a rainstorm awesome. In Seattle. Color me shocked, DeMarco, that's how that went. I'm shocked. Before we get to the Rams, very quickly, did you get a chance to watch any of that? I know you're a baseball guy. I know that you spent a lot of time in St. Louis. I know you're a Bay Area native. Like, where do your allegiances lie in this whole mess?
Okay, I hope Greg Bergman is listening. When I called him delusional, I meant that in the positive. If you have to go through the wild card, if you're the Dodgers, never fear. You've been saying it. You guys have been saying it. You've got a great roster. You shouldn't fear anybody. And if you have to line up with the Cardinals in a one-game playoff and take Adam Wainwright and you beat him, your confidence is going to be through the roof. It almost negates the Giants winning the division. You know what I mean? So this could be a blessing in disguise. So, not shocked. Great ending, though. What a game. Heck of an ending.
All right. With all that said, DeMarco, this is what's kind of crazy. I mean, here we are. What a big game in Los Angeles. When I'm saying in Los Angeles, for the Rams, even though they're in Seattle, a great, great NFC West opponent. And it's kind of been, there's a football game on tonight because that's what happened last night. So now that we focus a little bit more on this game coming up later this evening, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what tonight's game will tell you about the Rams. They lose to Arizona. Was that an outlier, or do you think what we're going to get tonight between the Rams and the Seahawks will tell a much better story of who the Rams are? How key do you think this game is for them?
I think it's huge, and I think it's positioned perfectly, like you said. You got a game tonight. That's great, because we're not talking about that stinker in SoFi. We're not talking about Kyler Murray absolutely playing with his food in certain situations and watching Matthew Stafford force the football time and time again, the Cooper Kupp, and coming up empty. And just a lot of stuff in that game that I'm glad it's a short week, because had it been a long week without a wild card, you'd be on top of this. And, you know, it would be a bunch of negatives. So, but look, I agree with you. This is you got to get back in this race. San Francisco and Seattle put on a great one. Down in Levi, I just got finished watching Russell Wilson quiet the crowd. I mean, they were rabid. They were coming after him on defense, and he just stayed poised, stayed the course. The minute you blinked, he made plays. Next thing you know, he had the lead, and all you are is tired. And they win. So Seattle holds serve. Arizona beat the Rams and beat them soundly. So now you must hold serve. So the Seahawks are back. The Rams are on the back foot, and you don't want to lose too much ground in the NFC West. So this is going to be an old-school NFC West slugfest. I cannot wait to get to the stadium. This will be a fun one.
DeMarco Farr joining a Super Bowl champ. Now, we've been talking about this, DeMarco, you and I, for I guess this is our sixth year, talking about Russell Wilson and the challenges that he presents to a defense. The Rams have done really well against the Seahawks. Even when the Rams were not a particularly competitive team, they still had success against Seattle and Russell Wilson in particular. Why?
Well, okay, Aaron Donald could be named a deodorant because he covers up a lot of stink. against Russell Wilson, and you look at what he's done to the league and then put that next to what he's done to the Rams, it looks different. The Rams have really, I wouldn't say controlled him, but, I mean, have brought him back to earth. But yeah. if you extrapolate that a little bit farther, that's really Aaron. Aaron has been on his butt for the last 5-6 years. I mean, really, chasing him down like he owes him money or there's something personal. So, and I heard Russell Wilson even said that this is the player that he's going to tell his grandkids about. He's going to tell them about Aaron Donald. So, really, what you need is that guy again tonight. You didn't have it versus Kyler Murray. He did pump fake Aaron once when Aaron had a short sack and got out of it. That's demoralizing, but the same has to happen. Aaron has got to be Superman tonight and force Russell Wilson into improv plays, and then you've got to make plays to get off the field.
DeMarco Farr taking some time to join the Travis and Sliwa show. Of course, the Rams and the Seahawks later this afternoon. Pregame show starts. Trav, you said 3 p.m. or 3:30?
3:30.
3:30 pregame show will start right here. DeMarco, just looking at Matt Stafford, what he's done in some of these primetime games. So he's 7-14 in primetime games. Travis and I were trying to kind of decipher here. Okay, how much that does that have to do with you've been playing with a bad team for you played for a bad team for a number of years? What are you hoping to see from Matt Stafford tonight? And this is obviously his first time getting a chance to see what this rivalry is all about.
Well, you know, that's funny, Flea. I'm thinking this is the first time I'll see him, and this has been in the back of my mind. It should be if you're a Rams fan. Coming up here with crowd noise. So you were great against Chicago. You went to Indianapolis, which is it could be a tough place to play, but, you know, it's not really a hornet's nest, but you did what you needed to do. First drive, score, take the crowd out of it. Well, this is different up here. I think a first drive touchdown is a must for the Rams and Matthew Stafford. 90 or nine plays, 90 yards, boom, put it in the end zone, start sowing some seeds of doubt, because if you go three and out and you give that fan base life, the 12s life, they will roll right over the top of you, and you'll never get them to shut up. So this is big. To be honest, this is kind of a wait and see. I want to see how Matthew Stafford handles this environment. This is tough. This is not for the faint at heart. You have to kind of do what Russell did last week at Levi Stadium. You got to quiet that crowd and try to take them out of it, and then slowly start to make plays when you're allowed to, or when it starts to open up.
DeMarco, I want to ask you about something that happened after Monday Night Football between Joey Bosa and Derek Carr. Joey Bosa called out Derek Carr. I want to play this for you because I just want to make sure that you know the exact context. This is Joey Bosa after the game where they beat the Raiders on Monday Night Football.
We knew once we hit him a few times, he really gets shook, and you saw on CeCe's sack, he was pretty much curling into a ball before we even got back there. So great dude, great player. He's been having a great year, but we know once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down and he's not as effective.
What do you make of one guy saying about another team's quarterback, he's shook, he curls up into a ball before you hit him, and he kind of shuts it down? What do you make of that?
The Chargers have an accurate scouting report? I mean,
wow.
If you're a Raider fan, did he say anything you didn't already know? I guess it was just shocking coming from a player. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are the same way. Once they start getting tagged, they start looking funny. You know, that's the thing. I tried to look back, and I'm still looking back. Was there something going on with Matthew Stafford and J.J. Watt? Because I was trying to figure out, why is he rushing his throws? It seemed like he was playing like he was under more pressure than he really was early, and that caused some misses. But yeah, a lot of quarterbacks like that. You hit them in the teeth a few times and they start looking for you versus downfield.
DeMarco, are you surprised that he made those comments public? I mean, that's the one thing Travis and I kept talking about. It's like, okay, yeah, it's one thing to have that belief, but for him to, you know, maybe you say that in a locker room, but are you surprised he comes out very openly and says, yeah, that's how I feel about Derek Carr?
Well, yeah, I think he is what he is. I think, you know, the bloom is off the rose. We know a lot about Carr now. There's a lot of data. The data says when you crack him, it's a little bit different. But same being said, if you don't get pressure on him, he'll carve you up. So, you know, that's every single game plan against him is go after him, hit him, rattle him. There's a chance he could curl up and not be as effective. So I think it's just funnier coming from a player that just did it. That's why it's so shocking.
DeMarco, just, you know, I already labeled you last week as my NFL insider for my pick'ems, and we talked about how I had three bookies that I had on my payroll now just trying to do these pick'ems every week. I just want to say this. I went 4-0 last week, so whatever you did in that studio, I greatly appreciate it, and we're going to do our pick'ems later, so I'm hoping that vibe just continues.
Film junkie, I love it, man. This is just great stuff. I love watching video.
We will love listening to you on the sidelines today. DeMarco will be alongside JB and Maurice Jones-Drew. Kickoff coming up just a little bit after 5 o'clock. Pregame show at 3:30. DeMarco, as always, thanks a bunch.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. How good is that, Slee? Well, they have an accurate scouting report. That's pretty
great. I was a little surprised. You know what I thought I was going to hear from? Yeah, you know, you just don't say that. You know, when you get into locker rooms, you keep that stuff between your team. He's like, no, that one's pretty accurate.
Yeah, no, he is that. He is the guy that craters and lays down. Yeah,
okay,
accurate scouting report along the way.
He said something, too. I mean, when he's talking about Stafford, I love the, I don't know what I'm going to see tonight. You know, like, I think there are a lot of people that are curious. This is an environment that Matt Stafford listen, he's been in environments like this, but it wasn't with the Los Angeles Rams. It wasn't with these expectations. I think there's a fascination that tonight's game, part of it's going to do with Stafford.
All right, get your Uber ratings ready because we are doing Factor Cap. It is coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Pretty cool that you can go out to Hollywood Park Casino on Monday and meet Kenny Landreau, number 44, center field, member of the Dodger 1981 World Series team. That's and you can win a TV, Al. That's not a bad way to do it.
By the way, I'm sure for Dodger fans just in general, just to be with other Dodger fans, right?
Of course.
I mean, you and I, it's kind of funny. You and I were talking about this yesterday. In your most nerve-wracking situations where you're going to watch your squad, your sports team, I prefer lights off, close all the blinds.
Doors locked.
Turn off the AC, just everything. Just complete silence and just as miserable as possible until the game ends, and then you can celebrate from there. You were at a bar. You were having – you had your own pizza. You had your own full pizza, full pie. You had an extra large full pie. Didn't share with any of his buddies.
It was extra large. It was. That's true, but I did share.
Two pitchers of beer. You heard Max Scherzer on TBS kind of talking about like he was leaving a voicemail for his ex-girlfriend or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, here it is. This is Francis in Glendale who says – that Max Scherzer postgame interview sounded like a voicemail. He tried to leave an X at 4 a.m. while slumped over on his porch, giving up on finding the right keys to open his house. That's pretty specific. We've been there before.
Okay, I'm drunk, whatever.
Before we get to Factor Cap, I have a quick question for you. Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. I wore my old Dodger hat to the watch event last night, okay?
We talked yesterday about this, yep.
Yeah, so you're looking at me right now. I've got my old Dodger hat on my head. It is exactly 12 years old right now. It's been through little leagues. It's been through batting practice sessions with my kids. Everything's sweated up. It's gross. It's got the salt stain. It also won the World Series, okay? I got a brand new one here that I bought at the beginning of this season that I'm a little worried about. Do I rock the old one all through the playoffs, or do I break in the new guy in game one of the Giants series?
First of all, why is your bill bent upwards? Why do you have – why is it like that?
I'm a flat bill guy.
It's not even flat. It's actually curled up a little, and it's to the side. Trav, just look
Monster
at your age.
Flat bills.
Okay. I gave this a little bit of thought. Yesterday I told you – no, go back to the championship hat. If that's the one that you wore during the playoffs, and you got to roll with that. You threw out a good question to me. You're like, okay, so now do I go back to the new one?
Got
to
get in playoff experience.
Okay. I actually feel this one you got to ride out. Now I think you got to just keep the old one on and see how far it could take you. This is similar to Dave Roberts trying to make a decision about Kenley Jansen coming into the season. Okay? If Kenley's working, don't change it. I mean, because you never know. You never know when you're going to be able to throw that hat back again. Now, if it disappoints you at some point, then everything changes. This is you're running a business over there.
Everything disappoints me at some point. That's just the natural evolution of things in my life. Let's do a little Factor Cap right now.
All right, guys. So tomorrow I'm hopping on a plane.
Yes.
I haven't flown a little bit. Flying out LAX. So my statement is... Oh, also, I like just don't really like to like pay extra for where I'm seated. So I had to choose it ahead of time. Anyway, so window seat is better than an aisle seat on a plane. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
Okay, first question is this. You're flying out of LAX and you've never flown out of LAX before?
That's correct.
Unbelievable experience.
Probably should have left already.
It is so calm. You won't get stressed at all. I mean, you just kind of park right away. You walk in. You wake up. Travis, is LAX not the best flying experience? Just prepare Emily.
I'm just telling
don't
you.
Don't do Burbank or John Wayne. Make sure you do LAX.
What time's your flight?
11:30.
Yeah, I'd leave at like 11:15. You should be fine. Just cruise in and out. Not a problem at all. Never any lines. Never any congestion. Very easy to get a vehicle in and out of LAX. It's not a problem at all. You're good.
They're cool security wise. You can sit by the pilot if you want. I mean, it's such a natural experience.
Sounds like a lovely place.
Okay, it's Cap. I'm an aisle guy. Give me the aisle seat. Maybe this is a control thing, Trav. Maybe I got some issues here. At one point, I used to be a window guy. Hey, it's cool. You look out the window, all that stuff. If you're on a plane, 6 minutes into your flight, there's nothing you're going to see different. So there's no reason to go to the window. So I'm an aisle guy. I need the ability to walk up and get up at any time, use the restroom, walk around. I'm an aisle man.
The restroom factor is a good one. You bring that up, and it's a worthwhile point. But this kind of goes back to why I like to ride in the front seat of an Uber. As someone that's a little bigger than an average person, mm-hmm. if I sit on the aisle, half of my body is in the aisle. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm constantly getting people's butts slammed into my shoulders. The stewardesses are slamming me with
100%.
The cart. Yeah. I'm constantly getting jostled in that aisle seat, so I'd rather stuff my giant fat body up against the fuselage of the plane and lean up against the window than get repeatedly elbowed and butted by the stewardess.
Your reasoning makes a ton of sense. I'm just shocked. I did not think that that's the move you were going to make, because you're also the size that if you need to go from the window to the restroom, everybody's got to get out. Everybody now has to get out. I might even have to take the luggage from up top. I got to move that as well. There's a lot of things that go on.
You're not wrong, but that's a passenger problem. That's not a Travis problem. That's a you need to move, I'm getting up problem, because I'm getting up and I'm going to go use
Emily, you're going to love LAX. You're going
to
love it.
I'm excited.
Wonderful place.
And also, luckily, my flight's not too long, so hopefully I won't have to go to the bathroom on the plane either, too. So, don't worry about that. So, I saw that a restaurant in Hartford, Connecticut, where I just came from, is now going to entertain robot servers and to kind of help with the flow of the restaurant. So, you would dine somewhere with robot servers. Travis is Factor Cap.
Yeah, let's do it. What's the address? I'll go right now. I'll go in there. They're going to get the order right. I don't have to worry about them not writing it down. There's going to be a voice copy of my order. They're going to go right back to the kitchen. I kind of picture the maid from the Jetsons as the server. It's going to be, I don't know her name. Was it Doris Dot? Something like that. I'm for the robots. Plus, Al, I think you should be my date when we go to the robot restaurant, because I want to see the terror on your face when the robot approaches the table.
Do you guys not understand what's happening here?
Rosie,
first,
that's it. Thank you, Taylor.
First, it starts in a lab in Boston Dynamics where they're just working on a couple things. And then they start doing backflips and smiling and pretending like everything's okay.
It's cool.
Next thing they do is they start taking over some restaurants. These robots are going to get us so incredibly comfortable with them before they take over the freaking world. Trav, the fact that you're fine with them making a burger back there, who knows what they're going to put in your burger? At least I know the dude that's working back there, who, by the way, is getting paid, is going to, at least if he's upset at me, he's going to put natural things. This dude can kill me at any time. I'm not trying to get the robot, man.
Yeah, unless the cook in the kitchen just broke up with his girlfriend and he's having a bad day and he wants to make sure that somebody feels as bad as he does and put something in your burger. That's the robot. His girlfriend's not breaking up with him. I don't worry about that.
The robot has so much built-in animosity that we are still pushing the buttons. At some point, we're not going to get a chance to push the buttons. I just don't think you understand.
I think I'm going to dress up as a robot for Halloween just to see the look on your face.
Okay, so we talked about this yesterday, about this topic, because we were going to maybe do this in Factor Cap yesterday, but then we all compared our Uber ratings, and honestly, I was very surprised that I had the lowest rating out of all of us.
Yeah, that's not good. Emily had, what's the most you can score is a 5?
Yes, out of 5.
Emily had a 1.8.
No. I had a 4.69. I'm not that low, but anyway, you always give 5-star Uber ratings. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
First of all, it's just kind of like a routine. I'm not gonna go give somebody, even if let's say I didn't have the great experience, I think it's just a routine to give them a five, a little bit of a tip, and then just call it a day, isn't it? Like, don't you just – the app opens up. The app is like, hey, a couple stars over here. You want to just throw a quick little five? Yeah, I do. I do want to throw a quick little five. And one thing Emily did leave out, while Trav is a 4.9
yes.
on the scale for Uber, I was a 4.92, which actually surprises me because you're also the dude that sits in the front seat without their approval.
Well, I let them know that it's going to happen. I'm not asking.
I've seen you grab.
I open the front door and say, hey, this is cool, right, as I'm sitting into the front seat.
I've seen you open the glove compartment and just go through some of their insurance, kind of see, okay, is there a couple extra napkins here?
Got any chapstick? You got something? I'm a little dry. You got something?
Do you
have
any chapstick?
Just not. No, look, there's only one instance I can think of where I did not do five stars. It was when we were covering the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and I was going to a dinner with the group, right? Excuse me. And getting the Uber from the hotel to go to dinner on the other side of Atlanta, and the guy's going the wrong way. And I said to him, I said, hey, you're not going. And I don't know Atlanta well, but I know where I'm going. And I said, no, it's the other direction. We're literally, I forget, he's headed north, the restaurant's south, right? And I'm telling him, no, it's not. This is the way. I'm like, buddy, you're going the wrong way. I looked at the map. You're going the wrong, no. We drive 20 minutes the wrong direction. And he says, you know what? I think I went the wrong way.
Yeah, he probably went the wrong way.
The wrong way. And so in the app, as I'm still in the Uber, I'm hitting the, send the message to Uber. Like, I am not paying for this. This is BS. Your guy, I told him. And I got a wonderful note back from Uber saying, we'll take care of it. The ride's on us. No big deal. So that's the only time I've given less than five. And I believe it was
Fair. That's fair.
So that's how that went. All right. Al, you worked a very long day yesterday. A very long day yesterday.
You got a long day today. It's kind of
fired up, though, man.
It's interesting back to back here. Lakers pregame or Lakers preseason yesterday, and then obviously you today. Okay, so can we do a couple things here? We still haven't got a chance to see LeBron, Westbrook, and Anthony Davis. All three of those guys play together through the first two preseason games. Vogel addressed it yesterday in the postgame show. I think it's coming soon. We'll do that, and then plus 11:55. All over the Dodgers. We'll continue to take phone calls. So if you're out there driving around, you want to talk about Chris Taylor's two-run homer or Bellinger being clutch yesterday or
Dave Roberts'
decision.
Too. I want to get into Dave and what a great job he did yesterday.
Let's do all that coming up next. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to lie. This is exactly how the football picks have gone for me historically. I think this is the third season that I've done it. I do really well through about the first 4 weeks, and then the wheels come off. So I'm not super surprised. You may go back to back, Al.
I'm not focused on anything other than somebody tagging me on a video of just robots for 5 minutes watching these things do damage across our Earth. This is not good.
Were you like in a vulnerable state when you watched Terminator or something? When you thought
Skynet
was coming online, what happened to you? Like, who hurt you? Which raid?
Trav,
which maid did something
Trav,
to you?
What's smarter? You or a computer? Because I don't know about you.
Computer.
I can go on Google at any moment and type in anything, and it knows everything. At some point. We are nothing. We're going to be nothing. We're already there. All right, let's not get into that.
That is pretty ominous sound. Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. It makes me a little uncomfortable along the way. All right, so we good that the Lakers have gotten rolled in two preseason games? Preseason. Do I care yet? I don't feel like I care.
I'll say this. I'd like to see them. Obviously you want to see the big three. And that's the only thing that really, really matters. Let's play this real quick. This is Anthony Davis on when he thinks everybody will be playing together. He has obviously played in the first two preseason games. Take a listen. All right, so Vogel also said, by the way, that they'll play only four more preseason games left. Haven't played in the first two. That they'll play in two of the games. Trav, I have so much built-up curiosity and anticipation to seeing Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and I know it's freaking preseason basketball. But there's 11 new players on this team, so I'm really hoping by tomorrow or at least Sunday at the latest, we get kind of a chance to start seeing, okay, what is this Lakers team going to look like? Yesterday I'm having an argument with Michael about AD, should he be starting at the five or should he not? I'm saying that I don't think it's necessary. And the only reason why I bring that up is because I think there's so much that the Lakers are going to have to figure out by the time the season even starts. And then in the first month of the season, you're going to spend a lot of time kind of figuring out, you know, what rotations make sense, all that stuff. So hopefully we see these three playing together sooner than later.
Yeah, I think I kind of land where you just said, Al, the first month of the season is going to be the, hey, what works best with what?
100%.
That's what it feels like to me, that this preseason is, let's just break a sweat, basically. Mm-hmm. Let's get our legs loose and get ready to go. Let's make sure we're in shape. Let's make sure we're ready to hit the ground running on opening night. The combinations, the rotations, that kind of stuff, I'm not there yet. I think you almost have to give them a month of regular season games.
Agree.
Before you can say, this piece looks really good or this piece doesn't look good. I'm not quite there yet when it comes to, why I need to see this. I have a little more runway. The piece to me that we can talk a million times about LeBron at the four, AD at the five, this guy at that spot. We know that when it comes to go time, that LeBron's the point guard. Whether he's defined as the point guard or not is, you know, irrelevant. That when it comes, last 5 minutes,
ball's going to be in his hands.
Ball's in his hands. Mm-hmm. And so now what we need to see is not, hey, what does he look like at the four with AD at the five? It's what does it look like at the end of 5 minutes to go? It's a 2-point game and a game that you really need to win. What does that look like? I need to find a way to simulate that in the next month or two.
Even if they play in a few of these preseason games, you know, it's going to depend on what the competition, what they're doing. As in, you're not going to really even get a full taste of what the hell you're doing until October 19th. Regular season games will start. Probably by the time, Trav, we get to December 1st, we'll have a real good idea of what this team is. Okay, the other piece yesterday came out. You know, unfortunately, Trevor Ariza going to have an ankle surgery. He'll be reevaluated, they said, in 2 months. So already, you know, one of their older players, 36 years old, has an ankle injury, and before he plays a game for the Lakers, he's out for 2 months.
Well, look, it's inevitable, right? It's inevitable that when you see a Laker player, especially an older Laker player like Ariza, 36 years old, get hurt or have an injury before the season has even started to kind of have, oh, here we go, I don't think it's unfair. Look, I get it. Trevor Ariza's not LeBron. He's not Carmelo Anthony. He's not Dwight Howard. And his role in this team is something other than the role that those guys are going to play. But when you're on the wrong side of 35 years old, when you've been around as long as some of these guys on this Laker team have been, the age is always going to be a question. Minutes are always going to be a question. Health is always going to be a question. And that this happened before really the season has even started, I think, is one of the, okay, I mean, is it the end of the world? No. Will he be back? Sure. But it's not nothing.
So I think it's all irrelevant right now. Irrelevant in the sense that if you want to make a case, hey, look, already somebody just got injured with the Lakers, somebody who's older, you can make that case. Or like me, I'm going to say, let this thing start, and let's see how these players play together, and let's see how LeBron does in his 19th season. Let's see how Russell Westbrook fits in with Anthony Davis and everybody else. But we still got a couple more preseason games before we get there.